Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night sermon. I'd like to thank the elders of the congregation for allowing me to speak this evening and the prayers on my behalf. I pray that what I have studied can be beneficial to everyone this evening. In my continual prayer life, I constantly give thanks to God for the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And with this thanks, I always pray for help from God to remember what the sacrifice means in my daily life. I wanted to look into this further by studying the Lord's Supper and why we should remember. I wanted to explore into what the Gospels had written in the time that Christ was with His disciples on the day of the Passover feast and hopefully bring some light on what we should be remembering daily. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all paint a piece of the picture of the Passover feast before Christ's crucifixion. Looking back into Exodus, the 12th chapter, the Passover was the 10th plague that was brought upon the Egyptians when they enslaved the Israelites. God told Moses that he would pass through the land of Egypt and strike down all the firstborn in the land. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The blood that is talked about in verse 13 is the sacrifice of a firstborn male lamb or goat that has no blemish. This is explained to Moses just before in verse 5. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." The Israelites would sacrifice this lamb or goat at twilight before the night of God passing through the land. This precious blood would protect them from the wrath of God when he passed over the land and signify who were His chosen people. God calls the Israelites to memorialize this major event with a feast to the Lord, a feast where they ate for 7 days unleavened bread. Fast forward to the Gospel according to Luke in the 22nd chapter, we see how the disciples come to the place where Christ has told them where the Passover feast was to be prepared. In Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 13, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will be carrying a pitcher of water follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready.' So they went and found it, just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover." After the disciples prepared the Passover feast, Jesus continued to speak to his disciples and instituted the first Lord's Supper by breaking the unleavened bread and passing of the fruit of the vine. Further down the chapter, we read how Christ instructs us in the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20, "And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the covenant of my blood, which is shed for you.'" The body of Christ is represented as the unleavened bread and the blood of Christ as the fruit of the vine. The bread and the cup are both symbols of what was given for our sins, symbols that were there for us to remember on the first of every week. In the early days of the church, we can see where the breaking of bread was instituted in daily Sunday assemblies. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were baptized, they had gathered and listened to the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers, and in prayers. This is where we first see the breaking of bread used in the early church services. We also see this when Paul was journeying to Greece in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Many different denominations do not see the Lord's Supper as important as the Bible instructs us. This can cause many to be led astray when we do not have that constant reminder. In this remembrance, we are to conduct ourselves in a proper way. The Corinthian church set an example of how we should not go about taking the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is writing to the early Corinthian church, explaining to them what he has heard and how they should conduct themselves in the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 22, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Paul tells the early Corinthian church that the way they are conducting themselves is wrong. They were divided among themselves and feasting without the whole church and feasting like it was any regular meal. We can look back and see these examples ourselves, but we must be wary that we do not take the Lord's Supper wrongly or in an unworthy manner like the Corinthians did. Paul tells us that when this happens, we will be judged by God for our selfish ways. Continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 34, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Paul tells us how we should conduct ourselves here in these few verses. We must take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner in spirit, because in taking the supper, we are professing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior who died for our sins. We must examine ourselves, knowing that we are sinful creatures, not worthy of God's mercy, but we know our Savior is sitting at the right hand of God. We should not rush to take it as a daily meal like the Corinthians did, and we should be mindful of the significance of the supper and what it represents. For those Corinthians that did not follow this received judgment, received the judgment of God and possibly condemned their own souls. In our daily lives, we will have thousands upon thousands of thoughts going through our minds, like what we should be doing at that point in time, where we are going, or what we should eat when we are hungry. These are but a few of those thousands of questions we ask ourselves daily, but in our daily lives, in our daily prayer life, we should ask God for that remembrance of what was given for our sins. What Christ had to go through to make intercessions for the transgressors. We are unworthy, but we know that Christ has given his life for us that we may have grace from God. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 4 through 6, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For we know that we are one of those sheep led astray and lost. We have turned our direction, but found and steadied ourselves on the narrow path with the help and teaching of those around us. We should take a moment daily to reflect on what was given for our sins and continuously ask for forgiveness where we fall short. The Lord's Supper was made for us to help us forgetful creatures to remember what was given for our iniquities. As Christians, we are called to spread the gospel to all the creatures in the kingdom. We are to teach that God sent his only Son to live on this earth as a man, to teach and bring the new covenant that was to save all men from their sins. His name was Jesus, who was crucified upon the cross, who was buried and rose on the third day, instituting the new covenant. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. For we have eternal life that is found in the Son of God, the Son that was given to save the world from sin. We as Christians must preach and teach this to all of those around us. The Lord's Supper is there for us to help remember what it is to put before ourselves. We are to put God and his commandments first in our lives, teach and preach his word and his Son and his Son's works to as many as we can. In the earlier verse on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter's sermon to the Jews had cut them to the heart, the apostles baptized thousands and started teaching to those around them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The new Christian church was growing rapidly. Once they had come together, they broke bread to remember what was given for their sins. The Lord's Supper is for all Christians, all that have been risen through baptism and confessed that Jesus Christ is their Savior. In our Christian walk, we must help those who are lost. I, for one, know many that need the word in their life, ones that need that constant reminder that Jesus saved them from their sins. As we go through our week, let us remember why The Lord's Supper is there for us as Christians. It is there to help us to continue constantly remember what was given for our sins, that the judgment of God is mighty and just, that could condemn thousands, if not millions, of souls in one night, like the night of the Passover. Those who had the blood of that unblemished lamb upon their doorpost were saved. As we partake of the supper every Sunday, let us not forget what was given, lest we fall into one of those houses that did not have that precious blood that could save us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, therefore, purge out all the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. As Christians, we need to help spread this to those around us, that the blood of Christ can save them. As we finish out our week, let's challenge ourselves to be like the apostles and teach the word or discuss the word with someone we know. I hope that this study has been beneficial to you. If there is anyone that would like to start their walk with Jesus tonight, we can surely aid you. If there is anyone that has a need of the church, or whether it be prayers or help, we invite you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected.